الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد ذي القدر العظيم وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to rush to the Friday prayer with a particular purpose. And that purpose is dhikrullah, is the remembrance of Allah. Fas'aw ila dhikrillah. So rush to the remembrance of Allah. Idha nudiya li salati min yawm al-jum'ah, when the call is made for the Friday prayer, فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, then rush to the remembrance of Allah. And the rushing here is the rushing of concern. Right? Because rushing can be with the body or it can be with one's concern. And here the rushing is the rushing of concern. So that when time comes to get to Friday prayer, you don't let anything else come between you and that Friday prayer. But we know that the sunnah is that one gets to prayer in a dignified and calm manner. And what is meant here by the remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah? There's two senses. One is the remembrance of Allah itself, because the prayer is an act of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the stronger meaning is that what is meant here by the remembrance of Allah is مَا يُتَذَكَّرُ بِهِ, is that which reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant is the khutbah. Because the khutbah is meant to be a reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of how to rectify one's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is key to rectifying one's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The key to rectifying one's relationship with our Lord and Master is the quality of taqwa, the quality of having mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us right in the opening of the Quran, in the opening verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, after we asked Allah for guidance in Surah Al-Fatiha, expressing our greatest need, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, the divine response comes right away. أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ, أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that is the book in which there is no doubt. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, a guidance for those mindful, a guidance for those who have taqwa, a guidance for those who have taqwa. And taqwa, of course, is at two levels. Because you could ask the question that I don't have taqwa yet, so how can I benefit from the Quran? But the scholars of Islam explain to us that every virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to, believers can be considered to have that virtue in one of two cases. One is the obvious case. You're considered to be of the people of taqwa if you already have taqwa, if you are already mindful of Allah, if your actions and state already reflect mindfulness of Allah. But there's another way you can be considered of the people of taqwa or the people of any other virtue. And that's when you possess three qualities. The first is that you are sincerely seeking that quality. So you have shortcomings, you have weaknesses, you fail and falter, but yet you are sincerely seeking this quality. For example, taqwa of Allah, mindfulness of Allah. You're sincerely seeking the quality. Secondly, you are striving to attain that quality. So you find out, what does taqwa mean in my life? And you're doing your best to act in that way, to be in that way. So you learn that taqwa entails avoiding what's haram. So you do your best to avoid what's haram. You find out what are things you should be avoiding in life. Taqwa entails making sure you're in a state of obedience to Allah. So you strive to act accordingly. even if you fall short. So the first was that you seek that virtue. Secondly, that you strive in accordance with that virtue. And the third quality is that any time you fall short of that quality, you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through repentance and rectifying your shortcoming. This applies to taqwa. So if you're doing these three things, you will be considered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the muttaqeen, even though you fall short. Firstly, you are sincerely seeking that virtue. And one of the signs of seeking it is you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that virtue. Secondly, you strive as best you can to act in accordance with that virtue. And thirdly, anytime you know you fall short, you return to Allah in repentance and rectification. And then you'll be considered of the muttaqeen, and you'll be of those who will be able to benefit from the Qur'an. Hudan lil muttaqeen, a guidance for those mindful. And the same applies to every other virtue. That is from the rahmah of Allah. For example, you hear in the Qur'an about the great virtues of having restraint when it comes to your anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those who control their anger. So you would be considered of those if you already have that self-control. But you will also be considered of those who control their anger if you have those three qualities. You seek to be of the people who restrain their anger, because Allah loves the people of excellence, as He tells us. And one of the qualities of the people of excellence is that they control their anger. But you're taking the means to acquire that quality. So you find out, how do I control my anger? What are the sunnahs related to anger? And you do your best to uphold them. And then anytime you do happen to fall short, you repent to Allah and you redress the wrong that you committed. So if you were rude to someone out of anger, you go and apologize, for example. And this is from the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us the means to acquire virtues and to be considered of the people of those virtues, even when we fall short. Even when we fall short. And part of Allah's mercy is that He rewards us for the struggle, not for the success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for our struggle. Sincerely striving for His sake, not to be successful. Right? Success is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we look at the quality of taqwa, of mindfulness of Allah, a key to taqwa is a quality that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized greatly, called wara, called scrupulousness or caution. Because taqwa is to restrain oneself from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to hold back from the things that are displeasing to Allah, that entail disobedience to Allah, that distance one from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you uphold taqwa in your life? You can uphold taqwa in your life by embracing caution in matters of deen. And this quality of caution, which is called wara, scrupulousness, being careful. The grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he relates that hafiztu an rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I memorized from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, da'a ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuk, leave all that makes you doubt for all that does not make you doubt. Leave all that makes you doubt for all that does not make you doubt. And this is one of the hadiths that the message of Islam revolves around. One of the central principles of religion, that if you embrace your religion, your religious practice, your state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be transformed. And Al-Hasan ibn Ali related this by saying, I memorized from my grandfather, or I memorized from my grandfather the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to indicate that this is something he learned directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Al-Hasan ibn Ali was a mere child when his grandfather passed away, the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And much of what Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learned about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was through their father, and their mother, Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima, may Allah be well pleased with them. And they also used to go to other companions, both from within their family and others, to ask about their grandfather, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he learned this directly from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a child, which is very noteworthy. Right? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not simply teach simple little things to children, but he also instilled in them the values of the deen. Right? And this is very important for us as parents, as so many of you are, that we don't simply teach our children, do this and don't do this. But we also instill in them an understanding of the values of our religion. And one of those values is to have caution in matters of religion. Because what is your religion? Your religion is your life transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's what you meet Allah with. So you don't sell yourself short when it comes to your matters of deen. Rather, you're careful that what you present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most befitting of actions and states. And one of the qualities required for that is caution, wara. How do you acquire wara? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his grandson, and all of us by implication, leave everything that makes you doubt for everything that does not make you doubt. How does one do that? One does that by always asking oneself the question that what does Allah seek from me in this situation? Is this action pleasing to Allah? So you consider before you act. That is the basis of caution. That when you're going to do something, ask yourself, is this pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this acceptable to Allah? Is this in accordance with the guidance of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If it is, then do it. But caution is required regarding that, because things aren't always as they seem. Because sometimes something seems good, but its consequences are harmful. So caution entails considering what are going to be the consequences of this action. So for example, you're just sitting at home, winding down, and a friend of yours calls you and says, you know what? My wife's cooking this diet food these days. I'm feeling hungry. Why don't we go for some naan kebab and grab some, you know, some Kashmiri tea afterwards? Say, sounds great. And there's nothing wrong with having naan kebab, unless you have too much of it. But caution would entail asking yourself, what are the implications of this in my life? And you say, I'm struggling for fajr these days. Which is kind of hard this time of the year, right, when you can pray just before 8 o'clock. But let's say you struggle for fajr. Maybe it's summertime. So you ask yourself, if I go and do this thing, what will the implications be in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you realize, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't, even though it's permissible. Even though you wanted to hang out with your friend. Or you might consider, well, why don't you come over? I have some food in the fridge. And that way, it'll take less time. Or say, how about we meet up tomorrow morning and we'll have breakfast together. Okay? So this governs every aspect of one's life. That you ask yourself, is this going to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This applies even to our thoughts. Right? Caution even applies to one's thoughts. We spend all day with all kinds of thoughts floating around. But in order to be a person of caution, you need to understand how to distinguish between those thoughts that are of good and those thoughts that are detrimental. How do you do that? If you look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see that the thoughts you get, broadly speaking, are of four types. The first type of thought is called the khatir rabbani, the divine inspiration, which is a meaning of faith that falls on your heart. Right? And that doesn't require too much thought. Right? You're sitting there waiting for the traffic light to change, and you get this, you're reminded of how patient Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Right? You don't have to think much about that kind of thought, because it's just a reality. Right? So a divine thought is a meaning related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His attributes, and His lordship over you. Those you embrace. But there's three other types of thoughts. The second type of thought is what's called the khatir malaki, the angelic inspiration. Right? And this is an inspiration to do something good, to a good action, or a good response. This is an angelic inspiration. The third type of inspiration that one gets is what's called a khatir shaitani, a satanic inspiration. And that is an inspiration that causes you doubt, or that causes you to turn away from the good. The fourth type of inspiration is a selfish inspiration. A khatir nafsani, right, which is from within you. And the selfish inspiration is towards one's desires. Right? So you're driving to the masjid and you're going to get there early for once in your life. But you see this place that has naan kebab. And you're like, I didn't have it last night. So you go and have the naan kebab. Right? But what do you do with these inspirations? The first thing is to be able to benefit between beneficial and harmful inspirations. That's why you need to have caution with respect to your thoughts. Because the shaitan will sometimes inspire you to wrong things. To look at what you shouldn't look at. To do the wrong. But the shaitan also tries to trip you up. So you decide to do something good. So what will shaitan do? He wasn't able to stop you from the good. So he'll try to make you excessive in it. So do more, until you're not able to sustain it. Right? Or the shaitan can't, right now you're headed in the right direction, he can't get you to do something wrong, but he'll cause you to have wrong priorities. So instead of, for example, on the weekend you always visit your parents, but instead he'll busy you with other good things away from what's more important. So you'll just go hang out with your friends all weekend, but you won't end up visiting your parents, which is mispriorities. So how do you distinguish between a good inspiration and a bad inspiration? You distinguish between them by considering what is the consequence of this inspiration. Right? Like, so you get a thought, whether it appears good or bad, always consider consequences. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ said, "At-ta'anni la ya'ti illa bi khair." That circumspection brings only the good. What is circumspection? It's to think things through. وَالْعَجَلَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And haste is from the devil. Sometimes something seems obviously good. Right? So you're walking by someone who's begging. So it's obvious. And you have some money in your pocket. But just think for a moment. Right? Because you think, oh, I have money, let me give it to the poor person. But turns out it's not your money, it belongs to your friend Nadir. So you know, you give the $5 to the poor person, and you go, Nadir says, oh, do you have my $5? You're like, oh, I gave it to someone poor. Right? So you just think for a moment, is this the right thing to do? Because sometimes something appears good, but it's not, given your circumstances. Someone is saying something wrong. So the right thing appears to be, correct them. So you get this inspiration to do something good, which is to stop them from saying the wrong thing. But consider for a moment the consequence, because we know from the teachings of our Prophet ﷺ that correcting someone, if it leads to making things worse, is wrong. So sometimes you have to not say what is true, but instead you might change the topic, for example, or distract them by something else. You mentioned the food. Right? They're slandering your uncle. And you know, if you try to stop them, they'll slander your dad as well. Not smart. So you say, oh, by the way, the food's almost ready. Why don't we go to the living room or the dining room? Right? So this is why you always consider consequences. And one of the early Muslims, Ruwayn ibn Ahmad, he said, "Man raqaba al-awaqiba salim." Whoever remains careful of consequences will always remain safe. Whoever is careful of consequences will always remain safe. This applies to your thoughts, as we mentioned. So you distinguish what is a divine inspiration, what is an angelic inspiration, what is an inspiration that is satanic, which is one that makes you doubt or diverts you from the good. And what is an egotistical or selfish inspiration. So you can deal with each in the right way. And that's the key to having this quality of caution, of wara. And then finally, with respect to caution, one looks most importantly at three matters. At three matters that are particularly important with respect to caution. The first is one's speech. The first is one's speech. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal asked the Prophet ﷺ in a famous hadith, and is there in the 40 Nawawi, and I'd encourage all of you to read and reflect on this hadith. Sayyidina Mu'adh asked the Prophet ﷺ to guide him to those actions that will make paradise close for him, that will facilitate paradise for him, and will distance him from the fire. The Prophet ﷺ said, you have asked about something tremendous, something great, but it is easy for whoever Allah makes it easy for. And then the Prophet ﷺ described the ways of good. All of them, like the key pathways of good. But then he said, should I not tell you what all this good depends upon? Sayyidina Mu'adh said, do tell me, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ took his tongue in his hand and then said, Kuffa alayka hadha, restrain this. Sayyidina Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, are we taken to account for what we say? Because right, usually we imagine deen to simply be our acts of worship, and they're critically important. That's what the foundation of your religion is. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you not understand, O Mu'adh? Are people dragged to hell by their forelocks for other than the harvest of their tongues? Because this is the greatest of things that causes you to fall into sin, is what you say with the tongue. How do you safeguard your tongue? By striving to have caution, having wara, which is always to consider before you speak. Consider the consequences of what you're going to say before you say it. And if you do, you'll save yourself from much harm. Because sometimes someone comes and says, how do I look? And you tell them, oh, you look terrible. So I spoke the truth. But this, if you thought for a moment, you're not supposed to speak the truth. The sunnah is to speak with words that are of benefit, that will be good. Right? So if you thought about, you know, your husband comes and he's trying on this new jacket, but he's being a bit ambitious. He's 2XL, he's wearing a medium-sized jacket. He's like Hulk about to burst out of his clothing. So instead of saying, you look awful in that, you can say, you know, I think the navy blue jacket will look better on you. So you consider the consequences and you say the good. So the first key to scrupulousness is to look carefully at your tongue. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever believes in Allah in the last day should say the good or remain silent. Right? That's the call to caution in one's speech. The second thing to be very careful about is what you eat. Is what you eat. Why? Because in another of the hadith that's in the 40 Nawawi, the Prophet ﷺ told us about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and he accepts nothing but the pure. And he described this man in the hadith who is on a lengthy journey and who's dirty and disheveled and in a state of distress. And he calls upon Allah for assistance. Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. But the Prophet ﷺ said, this man's earnings were from the haram, and his food and drink were from the haram. So why would Allah answer his call? So you have to be careful about what you eat, because what you eat will affect how you are and what you do. So exercise caution with respect to that. Try to eat of things that are wholesome, right? Both things that are halal and also things that are from sources that are wholesome, that are not of detriment to your health, that are not of detriment to others, because much of what we eat is produced in questionable ways. So you have balanced caution with respect to what you eat. And thirdly, be very careful about your earnings. Right? Have caution with respect to your earnings. If you have a job, make sure you fulfill the expectations of your job to the dot. The believer goes above and beyond when it comes to the rights of others. Make sure that you work in ways that are ethical, that you don't cut corners in ways that are not acceptable, that you never, ever do anything that goes against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never, ever do anything that is contrary to the good. Even if your employer tells you to do something that's unethical, you do not do it, because a believer is a person of principle. And you respond to that in the right way. Right? And that is critical. Right? Because if you can ensure these three things in practical caution, that you take care of your speech, you take care of what you consume, you take care of how you earn your wealth, then you will find divine assistance and facilitation in the rest of your life. Because these are three aspects of having taqwa of Allah, of being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the doors of guidance you will find will open to you in life, because the Quran is a guidance for those mindful. How do you acquire mindfulness? You acquire it through upholding this quality of caution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are of the mindful believers, of the muttaqeen, of those who are the most honored of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants, of those who uphold that mindfulness through embracing caution in the most beautiful of ways. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. نسألك اللهم التوفيق والإخلاص ودوام النعم وحسن الختام، بأنك أنت الله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Before we proceed, if everyone can move forward, because there's people standing at the door. So let's make space for them by moving forward. Bismillah ta'ala. So we've looked at the centrality of caution in one's religion. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding this caution in a hadith related by Imam al-Tirmidhi and others. لا يبلغ العبد أن يكون من المتقين حتى يدع ما لا بأس به حذرا مما به بأس. That a person will not attain unto the ranks of the muttaqeen, of those mindful of Allah, until they leave things that are don't appear to be harmful out of fear of falling into harm. That is that caution that we talked about. That to seek taqwa, sometimes you leave something that's not wrong, like the bun kebab at midnight, not because the bun kebab's wrong, but you know if you go out and have bun kebab at midnight, you might not get up for fajr. So you leave it for that which is better, that which will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're upset at your neighbor because every Saturday night he makes a lot of noise till very late. So you want to go and give him a piece of your mind. But to be of the muttaqi, you consider, will that be of benefit? No. So you don't do it. Right? And that's the key to having taqwa in one's life. To embrace the spirit of caution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who uphold the spirit that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam infused in the best of generations, in his own family, as he told Sayyidina al-Hasan when he was just a child. Leave all that makes you doubt, all that makes you uneasy, all that causes you uncertainty, for all that does not cause you doubt. Right? To embrace clarity in matters of religion. Because the believer seeks that which is of clear good, that which is of clear benefit, that which will be clearly a means of attaining unto the pleasure of our Lord. And this is the way of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, who took the utmost caution in everything that he did, to be careful that every word of his, every state of his, every response of his was the state and response and conduct that was going to be most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, caution entails embracing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The summary of being careful in life is to ask oneself one question. What would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do in this situation? And do that. And that is the way of caution. That requires knowledge. That requires consideration. And that requires turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for His assistance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are always turning towards the prophetic example in our turning towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala as an expression of our thankfulness to our Lord, of our recognition of the tremendousness of His blessings, of the tremendousness of the gift of life, of the gift of faith, of the gift of guidance, of the gift of every blessing, material and spiritual, direct and indirect, that He has blessed us with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we were to try to enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, we would not be able to. What does thankfulness entail? Thankfulness entails directing those blessings towards the pleasure of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the best of His blessings and most perfect of His peace upon the best and most perfect of His creation, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala Ali Sayyidina Ibrahim wa barik Allahumma ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama barakta ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala Ali Sayyidina Ibrahim fil alameena innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Rabbana innaka qareebun sami'un mujibud da'awati ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma yassir umurana wa umura al-muslimina ya rabbal alameen. Oh Allah, we ask You that You facilitate our affairs and facilitate the affairs of the believers, ya rabbal alameen. We ask that You lift from us and them all difficulty and hardship that distances us from You, that makes difficult for us the path of this life towards You, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that You return us and the community of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Your religion in the best of ways, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that You facilitate for us the ways of good, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that You inspire us to mindfulness, to taqwa, that You inspire us to caution in matters of religion, that You grant us hearts that are thankful for Your blessings, that are patient on the truth and guidance, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that You grant us deep and sincere concern for the good in our own lives and for all Your creation, for this is Your creation, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that You grant us prophetic mercy, so we look towards all of Your creation with the eye of mercy, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that You grant us that prophetic concern that causes us to love everything in Your creation insofar as it is Your creation, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that we be of those in our own lives and in our families, in our communities, who uphold the light of prophetic guidance, ya rabbal alameen, who are embodiments of virtue, who are embodiments of good, and embodiments of all that is most pleasing to You, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that You grant ease, assistance and facilitation for those who are in difficulty and distress. We ask You that You grant victory to those who are oppressed, ya rabbal alameen. We ask You that You lift hardship from those in difficulty, ya rabbal alameen. And we ask You that You instill in us deep concern, so that we are not mere spectators in life, but rather we are people who care about the good and who pray for the good for others, who are concerned for the good for others, and who always ask ourselves the question, what can we do to be of assistance to others with ourselves, with our time, with our concern, with our wealth, ya rabbal alameen, and that in every moment we strive to do what is most pleasing to You, ya rabbal alameen, and who recognize how far we fall short in fulfilling the rights of thankfulness to You, so that we are always returning to You in seeking forgiveness, ya rabbal alameen. This is our call, and You are the one who answers, ya rabbal alameen. So answer our du'as by the blessedness of this moment that we're in on this blessed day, ya rabbal alameen. Hadha ad-du'a wa anta man yujib wa sallallahu ala al-bashir al-nadhir sayyidina wa nabina Muhammad wa sallim tasliman kathira wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa aqimu as-salat.